Parents, when you visit California, childhood rules. If you don't remember how awesome childhood is, just ask yourself.
What would kids do?
Let childhood rule your family vacation. Start planning your trip to the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
Take a shirt off.
Take a shirt off.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show, the soccer edition. This is Mitch, your host, and with me as always is Dean. Dean, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you, Mitch?
I'm swell. We got a special one today. We have a guest for the first time on the soccer edition. We got NWSL starting up next week. So I'm happy to welcome Emily Higginbotham to the podcast. She wrote about Gotham FC last year and is a fan of NWSL that's more plugged in than Dean and I. So we have her here to help us preview the season. So hey, Emily, how's it going?
Good. Thank you guys for having me on. I'm excited to dive in.
We got a whole nother season starting next week, so that's all very exciting. So, I mean, why not start with, I have these written out in the order of from bottom to first in the standings last year. Unfortunately, that is your Gotham team that we'll be starting out with. So let's start out with Gotham. They had an eventful offseason, and a very poor season last year. But how do you feel as a fan going into the next season for Gotham?
I am tentatively optimistic because I don't think it could get worse than it was last year. Honestly, it was like really hard to watch. We had, I think, 4 wins, 1 draw, and 17 losses.
Oh, boy.
And they scored,
that is awful.
They scored 16 goals in 22 games and conceded like 46, which is like if you take Portland and the Reigns like combined, they conceded fewer than Gotham did.
Oh my God. All right. So I know they made like some big changes this offseason. Like Kelly O'Hara is, I think, the biggest thing that they brought in. So like she's still like a name. And so like that's a pretty impressive thing to have in the offseason. I think the most interesting thing to me, because I just like look at it and I'm like, why did they do that? Is trading the first overall pick. Because Alyssa Thompson's second overall. I'm showing my my like not being an expert. That's why we have you here.
That's why we have the expert. Yes.
I'm not an expert either, but you know, this is just what I choose to do in my free time. No, I had the same feeling, and the thing about Gotham is they don't really trust young players. It's kind of been a pattern the last few years. They had the Canadian international in Evelyn Biens, who looked really promising, and then they let her go to Sweden, and she scored a bunch of goals there. Meanwhile, we're not really scoring goals. Brianna Pinto, who I think everyone can agree probably did not rise to the level initially that they were hoping to. She was praised as, you know, a future national team midfielder, but she wasn't really given a run out in her rookie season, traded to North Carolina. And so I was hoping that Michelle Cooper would be coming to Gotham because that is someone who I think could have a big impact early, but you know, we'd have her for a long time, hopefully. But they traded away. But Lynn Williams, I mean, there's something to say about having a striker who, like, they know she can score goals. She's one of the league's leading goal scorers, so she's not a bad.
That's that's probably what you need if you're a team that scored 8 goals an entire season. And
16.
And,
16.
Oh, 16, 16, sorry.
Yeah.
Do you think that Gotham can like push for a playoff spot potentially this year, or is it still going to be another bad year? Because I know they made a lot of changes. So like, is there cause for them to be in that conversation at least?
I honestly think anyone can push for, that's just kind of the league that this is.
Okay.
If you look at the roster, like on paper, and you've seen this last year too, like you would expect this to be someone who is fighting for a playoff spot. I think the coach they picked up in Juan Carlos, he did a really good job as an interim manager in Houston. He took them to their first playoff appearance. So you're kind of hoping that he can work some of that magic here with Gotham.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I think a player that I'm actually really excited about is Yasmin Ryan from Portland Thorns. She's an attacking midfielder that we haven't really had last season that I think can connect those lines a little bit more.
Yeah, for sure. So that's interesting that like, I mean, I think American sports in general just is good at parity, where like we've talked about this before with MLS, where like anything can happen year to year with teams competing. So that's a good look into what we'll see from Gotham. Hopefully for your sake watching this team, week in and week out, it's a little bit better. So we'll move on to the Washington Spirit, who also weren't fantastic last year. Do you have any insight on what they did in the offseason, if they're going to make any big jumps in 2023?
So probably the biggest news is Mark Parsons coming back as head coach. He was there from, I believe, 2015 to... the years are maybe 2013, 2015. He took them to a championship. They didn't win, but they were doing, you know, they weren't heading towards the championship when he, you know, came on. Then obviously he went to the Portland Thorns and he had really good success there. A championship, a few shields, a couple of other trophies along the way. And then a spell with the Netherlands that didn't go that great. Fired after the Euros, but he has a lot of, like, obviously a Novosel experience. He knows how to win in this league, and he knows how to develop young players here. And he knows how to build, you know, better culture, which I think is, like, number one probably for the Spirit, because they've had a lot of tumultuous events going on. A couple managers being let go and, you know, not a great way. So
I
think he can bring stability. I don't know what their expectations are for the season, but I think that they will return to form a little bit.
Okay, cool. And
my expert opinion is that they're not going to be very good. I'm just looking at roster. I don't know. I'm not an expert on women's soccer anymore. I'm getting back into it. But I'm seeing the names on this roster, and I see Trini Rodman, and that's it.
I was going to say, she's the only player I could name on that roster, like, for sure.
And that, to me, is so, not a great time.
I think they have, like, the back line is questionable because they did lose Kelly O'Hara and Emily Sonnet. But both were injured last year, so they didn't really have an impact. Kelly O'Hara, like, has been injured, like, for, I don't know how many years. So her playing time is, like, questionable. But I think Trini Rodman and Ashley Sanchez, who's an attacking midfielder, those two have like really good chemistry. But I think probably the best of any attacking pair. They're really good friends and they link up really well in the field. I think when you have that, you have a chance in a lot of games if it's close. Ashley Hatch, who has been getting calls up with the national team pretty consistently over the last like year or two. Is kind of a poacher in the box. So if she's scoring a lot, maybe they have a chance, but I don't know about playoffs for them either.
Yeah, I mean, like that, the coaching change could be big. Like just bringing in a good coach that like knows how to win in the league can totally change things around. But if they don't have the talent available, or you know, that's still up in the air, then who knows at this point. But that's all good information to know about Washington. It'll be interesting to see how they do this season. Next up's Orlando Pride. What can you tell us about them?
Another coaching change. Seb Hines.
A lot of those.
Yeah, Seb Hines, who you might know as a Middlesbrough player for a long time, who's also an Orlando City player. He came in last season as an interim. I think brought a lot of energy, was doing a lot of positive things for them, so they hired him on full time. Also with the roster, you've kind of seen an exodus from a very consistent roster for as long as they've been in the NWSL. You know, they had Alex Morgan, they had Marta, Ashton Harris, Ellie Krieger, Sydney LaRue. The past two seasons, all that's gone away. Marta stayed on, and they're kind of rebuilding. While she's still there, I don't know how many more years she'll be playing. But they brought in Adriana, who is a 25-year-old Brazilian attacker, midfielder, who I think if those two can link up and link up with the rest of the young players, they'll be positive. I'm not expecting them to do anything, and that's probably the best. I don't think anyone's have expectations for them to do anything.
Yeah.
I think they'll have a positive. I honestly think they'll have like a positive season no matter what happens.
Okay. Like, yeah. So like an okay team. Yeah. All right, cool. So Orlando's going to be okay. We're calling it here. That's our official prediction.
I think it's a building year for them, for sure.
Yeah. Next up was Racing Louisville, which I think is a fun name. I think that's a fun, like, taking, like, that kind of European naming convention and, like, I don't know, Racing Louisville. I think that's fun. But what is their season looking like for 2023?
So what is this? The third season they've been in the NWSL. I think there's a lot less turnover this year. They brought in a good number of players, but they haven't like let go of a bunch. They did let Emily Fox go, who is become basically a starting outside back in the national team. They let her go to North Carolina. From North Carolina, they brought in two veteran players in Abby Ersig and Carson Pickett, who I think will just stabilize their back line. They've also brought in Paige Monahan from Gotham, who was a fan favorite. She's a Jersey girl. So she's kind of like the closest you got to like one of our own, you know? So it's sad to see her go.
That's tough. That's real tough.
I think they traded her for like the fourth pick in the draft. But she's like a workhorse. She's probably not going to give you a bunch of goals, but I think they're using her as a defender, which she usually plays as a winger, so kind of
I automatically hate that. I hate any time that happens. You take an attacker and turn them into defender, like I hate the vibes of this team already.
Yeah. I think one exciting signing for them is Uchenna Kanu, who is a Nigerian star. They signed her from Tigres. She scored 23 goals and 38 appearances there. Was really successful in Sweden as well. She had a really great AFCON last year. She's really exciting to watch. She was one of the reasons they made the final. They finished short, but she was really exciting. I think she'll be really exciting in the NWSL. I think it'll fit her style of play. And I think she's going to score hopefully a lot of goals.
You know, that's what Nigerians do.
Exactly. I was like just waiting for, like, I knew he had something loaded up. And, like, I knew he, like, heard Nigerian striker. He perked up a little bit. He's like, oh, okay.
To be sure, there was a Nigerian striker in Gotham that we skipped over. I didn't mention her.
Hopefully she'll score as well. She and Midge Purse, hopefully they back them on the goals. We pray.
You know, to be fair, the Falcons have been disappointing me for years. It's fine. If they don't score, it's fine. I'm okay with that.
That was really hard to watch. That came down to penalties. And I think Efi missed hers, and that was kind of the
That's not great. Yeah,
they're going to World Cup, so that's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be very interesting. What is NWSL doing with the World Cup happening mid-season? Is there a break happening, or is like the Challenge Cup happening during that? Like, what's all going on because of the World Cup being at mid-season?
I believe the Challenge Cup, there's going to be Challenge Cup games during that time. There might be a couple of regular season games. I never looked at the schedule again. But it's better than previous seasons where they like really didn't take a break.
Okay,
and
cool.
Played regular season games during the World Cup.
They're like playing their youth teams during the World Cup because like all their players are gone. Like, you imagine those teams like up at the top.
Like, yeah, there's some teams who have like totally intact rosters, and then there's some teams who are like, you know, 4, 5, 6 players are gone out of the starting lineup.
All right, well, moving on from Louisville. You're good. We'll talk about Angel City. They are now in their second year in the league. How are we feeling about them going in this year?
I'm very underwhelmed by their offseason. They really didn't do anything, and they were one of the teams who probably needed to do a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, their midfield is just super light, and they traded away Carrie Ricaro, who... She has been in the league a long time, but never really played a big role. And she started to play a big role in LA. I think she improved a lot. And now she's with Chicago. So they're losing her. They did bring in Merritt Mathias from North Carolina. And I think that's a big upgrade at outside back for them.
And then, like, Alyssa Thompson's probably, like, the biggest thing. Yes. First overall pick. She's 18. Very exciting. Scored on her debut in a friendly, like, very exciting player. She's probably the marquee thing of their offseason, right?
Yeah, I think they put like everything in the Alyssa Thompson basket, for better or for worse. Like, they have this, you know, rising star LA native, that obviously will attract people, but it's not like a squad, you know. They probably need a bigger squad. But it does fill the gap while Kristen Press, unfortunately, recently revealed that she had to have a third surgery on her knee after tearing her ACL last year.
Women's soccer and ACLs are just horrendous because, I mean, we'll get to Portland as well because they just had Janine Becky tear an ACL. I mean, we're all Arsenal fans here, and we're experiencing that with Arsenal women, with Beth Mead and Vivian Miedema. I think that's interesting about Angel City. We'll move on to a team that lost like everyone in the offseason, North Carolina. Whoa. I think Dabinia is Dabinia is the biggest one, who went to the Current, but there was just like, I was seeing just jokes on Twitter about how many people North Carolina were losing and they weren't signing anyone. They like lost their like half their roster, right?
This is like a team that I'm scared for. And if you would have told me like 3 years ago that I'd feel bad for the Courage, like I would have said you're crazy. you know, they used to be like the evil empire of the NWSL, just like steamrolling everyone. Not anymore. They lost Dominion to the Current in free agency. They traded away Abby Ersig, who had been their captain since like 2016 when they were still in Western New York. Kristen Pickett, who was their leading assist maker, Deanna Ordonez, who was a top rookie, was their second leading scorer. And basically Diana and Davinia made up for half their goals. So
half their goals are gone. Cool.
They do have Carolyn, who is another Brazilian. She scored 6 goals last season. She is really exciting to watch.
She's good.
She had some injury problems last year, so I think she'll do a little bit more damage, but to put on her shoulders is a lot to ask.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's not looking good for North Carolina. We'll move on to Chicago, the Red Stars. Released a beautiful kit last week, they've got Mallory Swanson, but how's the outlook looking for them this season?
Oh, another team I'm scared for. They have Melanie Swanson, formerly Pew, but it's like, you know, who else? Because their three midfield core all left in the offseason, in free agency. Danny Colaprico, Morgan Gattrob, Vanessa DiBernardo, who was their captain, basically kind of fed up at the club. And they didn't really, I mean, they signed a couple players to replace them, but I think it's a big gulf in terms of experience and talent. Julia Bianchi is a 25-year-old Brazilian from, they signed from Palmeiras. She's a defensive midfielder. I've not seen her play, so I'm not sure, but she'll probably slide into the starting lineup, Terry Ricardo, but I don't really know who else will play there.
Yeah. Or do you think they'll be in the, like, playoff outlook? Like, they could be competitive, but, like, could go either way?
It's funny with Chicago because I would have counted them out last season, too. Mm-hmm. And then, like, they just found ways to get results. And I think with with Mallory, like, she'll just make something happen because that's the special player that she is. So yeah. I think as long as you have her, you might have a chance in a game. They do have Tanda Davidson coming back from an ACL injury, so the back line is looking a bit stronger.
That's great. Okay, cool. So
I think they're, like, on the bubble, probably.
Cool. Interesting. Move on to last year's runner-up in the final, the Kansas City Current. I'm going to be seeing a game on April 1st. I'm going down to Kansas City to watch them play the Thorns, so I'm really looking forward to that. But they were the second-best team in the league last year in the final and then really just added a lot of talent this offseason.
Yeah, it's funny because no one would have put them in that final game, probably. Mm-hmm. I think they started slowly last season and then started finding ways to win. We're just like a scrappy group. Because the two of their biggest signings last season didn't even play, Sam Mewis and Lynn Williams, both injured for the entire season. But yeah, when I was doing prep for this, and I was looking at the roster, I was like, I'm really scared. They just have like a just stacked. I don't even, it's another team that you don't really know what it's going to look like on the field yet, because they have so many options, particularly in the midfield. Picking up Morgan Gattrob and Vanessa DiBernardo as well. And Michelle Cooper, who will slot in up top somewhere. And I think the biggest surprise, even more surprising than Davinia, was signing Hannah Glass from Bayern Munich.
Okay.
One of the best outside backs in the world who didn't play this year because she's coming off an ACL injury.
That
was just like, wow to me that someone of, you know, that quality European who usually it's like Champions League for them is like everything. So to come here, play for Kansas City, I think speaks a lot to what they're doing. Having the facilities that they do and building their own stadium, it just proves that, like, how attractive it is to play there, even though it's, like, Kansas City.
Yeah, for sure.
If it's a barbecue.
I mean, there's a reason.
He's coming for the barbecue.
Yeah, there's a reason that KC got a World Cup, like a World Cup host city for 2026, because I think the culture around soccer there is growing a lot, which is cool to see. But the Current look to be a really, really good team next season. We'll move on to the Houston Dash.
Are you a fan?
Reppin Houston.
I live in Houston, so I suppose I'm a fan by default. And I like the color orange. I like oranges too.
Now you like orange. The Dynamo won one game, and now he loves orange again. So how are the Dash looking for this season?
So they're definitely looking to build on 2022, which their best regular season finish, making key into the playoffs. They lost to Kansas City in the quarterfinal, but I think their fans will be really happy that they finally, you know, went past that threshold. they also have a coaching change. They hired Sam Lady from OL Reign. He's been an assistant there basically since they've been in the league under Laura Harvey and other people.
Why'd they hire him instead of the interim that they had that Gotham hired?
Think Gotham snatched him up.
Okay, got it. So it was more Gotham went for it as opposed to they chose not to hire him.
I think so. I mean, okay, I don't know the details personally, but yeah. From what it seemed, it came out first that he wasn't going to take the job, and then it came out that he was going to be at Gotham.
Got it.
So I think that's how it went. But Sam Lady, he's proven that he can be steady hand. He's been like a caretaker manager for the Reign a couple times in times of need. He really steadied the ship in 2021 when it seemed they were like nosediving under Fleet and CD. So I think like he has a lot of good pieces. Maria Sanchez, Mexican international, she came up really big for them last year, especially after losing Rachel Daly. She went back to England. They have Emmy Salmon, English player, and they picked up Diana Ordóñez, which both of them play like number nines traditionally. So I'm really interested to see how he works that out. But I think they're going to have a really good attack.
Okay, cool. Looking good for a Houston team there, Dean. So that's something to look forward to.
Hopefully I make it out to a game or 10 this season.
Yeah. Once you can walk.
Yep.
Didn't they just change the name of the stadium there as well?
Yeah, it's now like, I think it's BBVA and Shell. Yeah, Shell. Everything is named after oil and gas out here, you know. Like,
yeah,
of course. Yeah. we'll move on to third to last team, the San Diego Wave, also in their second season, giving the most boring kits they possibly could, despite having a cool color scheme. But they've got some exciting players on the team. Alex Morgan's, I think, the biggest player, obviously. But how are they looking for this season?
Yeah, the kits, I'll say, very disappointing. We thought that was a stopgap last year because they were a new team. Nope, they're sticking with it. What's funny, this season, like, or in off season, they did very little, but I don't think they needed to do a lot because Casey Stoney set them up so well last year. I mean, they have Naomi Girma, who was the Rookie of the Year and Defender of the Year. Morgan, as you said, she had the Golden Boot. Kaylin Sheridan, who's like one of the best goalkeepers in the world, in my opinion, one goalkeeper of the year. So they just added like a couple central midfielders, which was probably their sore spot. So I think they could improve, perhaps, on their finish.
I mean, they got third last year. Like, there's
yeah,
improvement is impressive, and I meant to mention Naomi Girma because when I've watched her with the national team, she's been really, really impressive, really good player. And so that's a good look for the Wave. We'll move on to the champions, Portland Thorns, because they got second in the regular season. But I mean, they were a fantastic team last year. Sophia Smith is amazing. But how do you think they'll be able to defend their title this season?
Yeah, I don't think you could say enough about how good Sophia Smith is and how much she does for them. But another team who they really didn't do that much in the offseason, I think consistency is key. They did lose Yasmin Ryan, which is a depth piece that was really good for them. And like you said, Janine Becky tore her ACL, unfortunately, in a preseason match. So I think that is two depth pieces that they're really going to miss. Maybe they can sign other players, but they have Crystal Dunn coming back for like really full time since giving birth to her son Marcel. So I think that will be huge. It's like, who knows? Sam Coffey in the midfield was a rookie last year and you wouldn't have known it. She really walked into that team and she made that position her own. And I think they're just going to be like a consistent force. They do have a new coach.
Yeah.
Another team with a new coach. But he was an assistant last year. So I mean, if I were him, like, it's not broken. Don't fix it.
Why did the head coach leave, Emily?
Good. It's a little sorted.
Okay, sorted stuff. Okay, okay, all right.
Yeah, she resigned. I mean, it's all public information. There was a personal relationship with a player. Although the league cleared her of any like inappropriate behavior, but she said she lost the locker room, so she resigned. It's not a great look. It's really sad. It seemed like she was going to be a really good coach in the league. So it's quite unfortunate.
Yeah, 100%. Well, the Thorns will, I'm sure, still look very good, despite that. In their home kit, because the black and red looks great, they'll be good.
Yeah.
Not in the Ed Hardy kits that we've talked about.
I really want to know, like, I hope a journalist does a piece on, like, how that came together. Like,
yeah.
An oral history of the Ed Hardy jersey.
I would not be surprised if some Nike employee got way too high one day. And that's what
just doodling in a journal.
He went to Portland to, like, experience the city and then got way too into it. So looking good for the Thorns. And then finally, the team that was the best team in the regular season, the Reign. So how are they going to be looking to do better in the playoffs this year? Because they were the best regular season team, but they did not make the championship.
Yeah. Every year it's like, is this going to be the year that the Reign actually do it? But I don't know. I think their time for making it happen has maybe passed. I think 2 years ago was probably their best chance with this core to win the championship. But I also don't know if you can bet against them. I feel like often in big games they come with like a flat energy. It's kind of crazy. But they have basically the same roster. They did pick up a couple of good pieces. Emily Sonnet, which is a very interesting pickup. I just feel like the Spirit offered her to them, and they're like, all right, we'll take her. But I don't know where she'll slide in, because Alana Cook and Sam Hyatt had a really good center-back partnership. So I don't know what they're thinking there. Elise Bennett, who was a rookie in Kansas City last year, they picked her up, and I think she's like a really dynamic player. She can score goals, and I think that's their biggest issue, is scoring goals.
Yeah.
They've never had, like, they have like such beautiful play and build up, and then when it comes time to finishing, it's hard to do. Jordan Heidema, they signed last season, mid-season. I think if she can score like 10 goals, they have a good shot.
Okay. Yeah.
But I think she's known as being like, she's like, no, it's not gonna happen.
I was gonna say, you don't think that's gonna happen either. Yeah. Like, I can see. They can hear you. I can see you. You don't.
Yeah. So interesting look for the Reign. Might be past it, but we'll see if they can try to retain being the best team in the regular season. Before we move on to the MLS games, give us your prediction. Who's winning it?
The championship, the Shield.
Like, both. Give us both. Yeah.
This is so hard to choose. I think Portland could win the Shield just because they are consistent. I don't know if they'll, like, this is so hard to choose. I'll just go with Portland. I'll just go with Portland. Very safe answer because they are so consistent.
Yeah.
They score a lot of goals. Which is all like right. The most important thing, and they have a really solid back line. So,
well, you guys have heard it here first. Shield. Portland's winning it,
according to Emily. Portland's winning it.
The playoffs, Kansas City.
Yeah,
I think by then they'll have like the momentum. I think they might start slowly because it, like, look at Chelsea in the Premier League. Like, you just buy all these players.
Yeah,
put them out there. You don't know. But I think by then they should be like really like firing on all cylinders. So cool. We'll go with Kansas City. They're gonna do it.
All right, we've got our two winners. We've got the two.
Were those the two finalists last year too?
They were the two finalists. Yeah.
All right then. Yeah. Go on, chalk.
All right. Well, that was our preview for the NWSL. We'll now move on to this week's MLS action. To start off, the news came out this week that Arsenal would be playing the MLS All-Stars in the All-Star game, which is very exciting, in DC. So, you know, that's news for us as Arsenal fans to be excited about. Arsenal coming to the States again. Who knows? Maybe I'll make a trip out there. Who knows?
I will be there.
You'll be there?
I will be there.
Absolutely.
I can take the train.
Yeah. There you go. So that's exciting that Arsenal will be here again. But we'll go into the matches now. I think the first one of the day was the one we were the most excited about, and it ended up being kind of disappointing. Sounders drew 0-0 with LAFC. Turf fields are terrible and I hate them. The NFL players don't want turf fields. Why is Lumen still turf? Because it just doesn't look good. Like, all the passes are just off. I think that if that's on grass, that's not a 0-0 game.
Absolutely. I could think 100%. Of at least one LAFC attacking sequence that was ruined because of the bounce of turf. He would have scored a diving header if it was on grass, but it wasn't. Yeah. But this is what we got. The game was sort of underwhelming. I was so excited to watch it, but they kind of canceled each other out, which I suppose is a sign of quality. When two good teams meet, these kind of things happen. So I'm not that mad at it, but I was hoping for goals. Definitely.
Yeah, 100%. I think Seattle was pushing really hard, and then LAFC like got that burst of energy towards the end where they had two really, really good opportunities that they ended up missing. I think the game could have been totally changed if Christian Roldan, or no, Alex Roldan, one of the Roldans, got a second yellow because it was like a tactical foul that, like, in every situation is yellow, except he already had one, and I think that's why he didn't get one, but he should have gotten a second yellow, and I think that would have 100% changed the course of the game for LAFC. But, you know, this game ended in a 0-0 draw. I think both teams are still trying to find their footing a little bit, especially, you know, I'm willing to give more to LAFC because it was an away game in a tough field than I am to the Sounders. Like, they dominated the game for the most part, and they probably should have gotten a result there. So I'd say Seattle should be more disappointed than that at that performance than LA.
I'd say so. I think ultimately this is the first time in 100 games that LAFC have finished in a goalless draw. So
that's crazy.
For them, at least they have something different to take home with them. A point.
Yeah, for sure. Well, moving on to Atlanta 5, Portland 1. Caleb Wiley played well again, but the biggest thing was Thiago Almada, obviously. Two goals and two assists. Scored a crazy free kick. There's no way Atlanta keeps him through the summer. Like, there's no way. It's not going to happen.
It's a shame, but not really, because you want potential to be realized, you know. And he probably deserves to play somewhere else. But while he's here, I will be watching him every week. Him and Wiley are just going nuts, and Araujo as well. Like, they've been really good this season. I think if we're doing power rankings, they'd have to be in the top three teams up
100%.
Them and LAFC for
absolutely
sure. Maybe Cincinnati.
I'd put Seattle in that conversation as well. Like, I think Atlanta's been really impressive, especially considering a lot of people didn't think that they would be one of the top teams, and I said this last week, but if they can retain their talent, like if they somehow don't lose Almada in the summer, I think they can make a run. But he's, I think, just so important to how they're ticking that it's going to be tough for them to keep him through the season. And then one thing with Atlanta is I wanted to give a quick mention about Miles Robinson. He came back from a long injury, and I think he's played really well at center back for Atlanta. He was the one MLS player that's been called up for this international break for the men's team. So it's good to see him back. Good to see him playing well. I think he probably would have pushed to play a lot at the World Cup had he been healthy, because he was a pretty solid center back during qualifiers. What did you think?
Almada for a second. I was like, what are you talking about, Mitch?
No. I'm talking about Miles Robinson. we'll move on to NYCFC 3, DC 2. It's kind of a back and forth game. NYC was playing at home, and it's tough to play Yankee Stadium.
Did you see that thing on the timeline about Yankee Stadium supposedly having NYCFC having an 11% better than average home record than other MLS teams, and everyone thinks it's their stadium because they play in a tiny matchbox.
I believe
which I personally find awesome. I mean, obviously soccer specific stadiums are better, but it's just a unique look. It's different, you know, it just changes things up, and it's not turf. So I'm good with it.
Yeah, for the most part. It's not turf. We'll take that.
Emily, I know it was funny for Wayne Rooney to coach a losing performance at a baseball field.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like gone from like coaching in England to now he's like coaching a losing performance on a baseball field. It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
They're going to pretend he won every game he coached here. They love him so much back then. Like, he's the best. Great.
We're just going to lie. All right, we'll move on to New England 1, Nashville 0. That's the third clean sheet in four matches for New England. Their one non-clean sheet was a 4-0 loss last week to LAFC, though. So a nice win at home for them. Nashville just seems like a very – like, I mean, we've noticed this. Like, Hani Mukhtar is very good. If he's not going to, like, contribute to a goal, they're not going to score. Like, they're not – like he is their attack 100%. And then maybe Walker Zimmerman on corners. That's like their only way that they're like had opportunities to score. And you know, New England's looked solid so far to start this year. Yeah. So we'll go to the next one. Red Bulls 2, Crew 1. What I'm realizing is Columbus is just really good at home and not on the road, because they've just like not been impressive. Like the Red Bulls had not won yet. They got their first win against the Crew at Red Bull Arena. So good for them, but yeah. Red Bulls haven't looked great to start the year.
Yeah, of
course. It's a miracle they scored 2 goals.
Are you a Red Bulls fan because they like they share a stadium with Gotham?
I'm like a very casual Red Bulls fan. I'd say I've only been watching MLS for a few seasons. Yeah. And they are the team I support, but they've like never made me cry. So like, am I really a supporter?
Yeah, if a team hasn't made you feel real emotions, like that's how I realized I'm not like a huge Rapids fan yet, because like I was there for the loss and I was like, I had a good time, you know, like I had a good time at the game.
You're probably just numb because it was cold as hell, bro.
That's true. 100%.
Can't feel anything, you know, in that weather. Nothing.
If we're being honest, that's a good segue. Let's talk about it early. Let's talk about Colorado 1, Minnesota 2. There was the best Rapids performance I've seen this season, and it was very fun to be there, but it was a half-empty stadium. People don't care at this point. Like, it's kind of sad because, like, I mean, there's not a lot to care about. Like, the team isn't really showing a lot of ambition. Are like good players are like being held back by just a poor team around them. Like Cole Bassett scored a nice goal. We scored a goal. We love that. But then it kind of imploded from there. Our captain Jack Price came on as a sub and then immediately tore his Achilles and out for the season. So, not Damn, great Jack. For,
Jack
for
trying
my
to pits. Be like me.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. On that play, he slipped. And then Minnesota scored, but it was offsides. So it could have been like a full Steven Gerrard moment, obviously with less on the line. but yeah, my Rapids aren't looking good. With your Houston Dynamo win, we're now at the bottom of the West. So not great for the Rapids.
Yeah.
We'll go on to there's two games this week where I'm putting teams on fraud watch. We talked about Philly last week potentially being on fraud watch. They just lost to Montreal, who we have declaratively said is bad. Montreal won 3-2, two really late goals for Montreal. And Philly, what's going on? Like, what is happening right now? Like, you guys need to get together if you're going to be an MLS Cup favorite, which they're supposed to be. So we're keeping an eye on them.
Yeah, all the experts I read before the season started, experts like Emily, told me that the Philadelphia Union were really awesome. And these guys are not awesome 4 weeks into the season. They were awesome to begin with, and now they've completely become shit, which is crazy to me. But that's okay. I don't care about them, so whatever. Yeah, like, shout out Gareth Bale.
Yeah, it might be a bit of, like, them playing midweek in the Champions League, but I'm not willing to put that entirely on them because they lost 3-2 at home to one of the worst teams in the league. Like, oh no, sorry. It was in Montreal. It was in Montreal. Okay, yeah. That's on me. I got that wrong.
I was like, they kept bringing up that. That's what I recall.
But still, Philly, we're watching you. And then the other team,
was that the game with the red cards? Am I wrong?
Yes. Yeah, Philly got a red card, and that's kind of what opened it up. There was a second yellow. It was a very bad challenge. Yeah, that's what kind of opened it up, allowed for Montreal to come back.
They got a red in the 69th. Nice.
Yeah. I comfortably left that out in order to be a hater more. I don't know why I'm hating on Philly, but we're keeping an eye on you, Philly. And then the other team that we're keeping an eye on Fraud Watch is Orlando, who lost 2-1 at home to Charlotte. Another bad team. However, you know, both of these bad teams are better than the Rapids. So
yeah, well, that's my fault because I shouted out, you know, Galese last week and said he was the best goalkeeper in the league and blah 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 blah. And you know, commentators curse. Now they're conceding goals and losing 2-1. So my bad.
Again, we could maybe say Champions League had a role, but I'm not willing to do that. You guys are on Fraud Watch. So we'll move on to Toronto getting their first win. They won 2-0 over Miami, who have been a team that have looked good to start the year. And then Toronto, they got a win at home. Nigel Rio-Coker really wanted to be a hater. He really wanted to like keep hating on this Toronto team. Instead, he wanted to consult his lawyers in the review show I was watching. He's real hater hours from Nigel Rio-Coker.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to Nigel, it's not as if Toronto played well in this game. You know, I watched a little bit of it and watched the highlights afterwards, and I wasn't impressed, but a win is a win. You know, you take your points and you build on that. Their best player is still injured, so I suppose I'll give them a bit of leeway for that, but I'm not expecting much from them this season. I'm really not. This tells me nothing about them, this victory does, but good for them. Good for them.
Yeah, 100%. Next one is St. Louis. Starting the season 4-0 with a 3-0 win over San Jose. I mean, this is probably more wins than a lot of people were expecting them to get, period. No one expected this team to be good at all. And they're the best team in MLS to start the first four games just based on results. So that's crazy.
I think the secret is just when you spend your money, it's not really a secret in MLS, but people do things the opposite sometimes. And I don't know why. You spend your player money on forwards. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
You can sort the rest out with some progress, but you buy some forwards and you have a chance. Because basically they have this Yao Klaus motherfucker, the Brazilian dude, and they have Joaquini. And between those two, they'll get goals. So it looks like they're always going to score this season. And if you can score, you have a chance in any game. It's the hardest thing to do in a sport. You know, like most people try to build their teams from the back and for obvious reasons. If you don't concede, you don't lose. But if you can score consistently, home away, as an expansion team, someone did some good shopping. Oh, did some really good.
100%. Emily, I know you've got a connection to St. Louis. No, I was teeing you up anyway. So, like,
great. I was going to say, I went to college in St. Louis. That game, like, the atmosphere looked better than any, like, Cardinals game up to. The Rams were still there when I was in college, so much better. I did spy a guy wearing like a Costa Gravioli like headwear, which I thought was like, if you know St. Louis, it's like Costa Gravs, but I just thought, you know, that's beautiful culture.
That's it's like the weirdos in Nebraska that wear corn heads.
Or what we call citizens of Wisconsin who wear cheese heads, but you know, that's just a church, you know, so whatever.
Yes.
I think this is in this game, I think I maybe saw the most number of nutmegs I've ever seen in an MLS game in my life. I counted like five of them. It was crazy, you know, like, but.
So this St. Louis team's just like techie. They're just going for the nutmegs. I mean, there's a guy I follow on Twitter, he's a Watford fan, and they were so in the dumps last season that he was just tracking if Watford would break the nutmeg record for the Premier League. And so that was their consolation prize that they took last season, of they just got the most nutmegs in the league.
There's no way he's making that up. There's no way Watford got the most nutmegs in the Premier League.
It was on FBref. Like it was a track stat last season. Oh, it's no longer like, because they've changed their like system, that nutmegs are no longer being tracked. But like last season, they got the most, not just in the Premier League, just in a top five league, the most nutmegs in a season.
That's nonsense. So if they stopped tracking them, it's probably because it was a lie and someone called them out on it and they're like, okay, we got to get rid of this. Why would you stop tracking something that fun if it was true? They were lying. No way.
Yeah.
Watford.
I'm with you. Well, moving on to your Houston Dynamo getting a huge win at home against Austin in a Texas Derby. That's got to ignite your Dynamo fandom a little bit. You're falling away the last couple of weeks, but this has got to light that.
honestly, if I could walk, I would have been there. It was a season opener. I know if the team sucks, it's Houston, the food would be good. So there's at least that. But I didn't get to go, but I did watch the game. And they gave as good as they got from Austin. I mean, like, Austin is supposed to be one of the favorites, one of the good teams in the league. And they weren't particularly impressive from my perspective. And it took a bit of a cheap handball for Houston to break the game open. A guy that started for the first time. I'm learning these players, you know, for the first time as well. His name's Bassey. His first start of the season. He scored the penalty, contributed to the second goal as well. Austin just didn't offer much. They just had Josh Wolf on the sideline, you know, pretending to be a model, which is nice. And the second goal was like wild, easy, like very terrible defending. And my final observation is that the coach, Ben Olsen, he should take more showers, is my suggestion. I'd feel more comfortable going to games if he looked less dirty. You know, that is my conclusion under Houston.
I was expecting like some like tactical look in, and it's just he looks dirty. Okay. Cool.
I'm no longer here for that. I'm here for that.
No. Fair enough. All right. Well, we'll move on to a wild 6-goal game. Fire 3, Cincy 3. The Fire had like a 3-1 lead at one point, and then they just choked. It was just kind of ugly.
That was really sad. Familiar. I was sad for them.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be. They need to fix their SEO first before anyone cares about them like that.
Yeah. We're going to, every single week, we are going to say, hey, Chicago Fire, your SEO is terrible until they fix it. right. And when
I
it
loses. Strong connection to the name.
Yeah.
Simply based
like,
on like backyard soccer, you know, the
yeah,
game.
That's fair. OG. Yeah. But like the TV show comes up first, and that's a problem. We can't have that.
Fair enough. Yeah. They need to do synergy, cross promote.
Yeah.
Together.
100%. Bring the cast on as like board members or something. I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sell the team to NBC right there.
Yeah. Tough choke for the Fire, but I think a solid result for Cincy on the road to get a point there. Next one was Dallas 2, Sporting KC 1. I don't really have much to say about this game. Jesus Ferreira scored again. I think he just equaled Landon Donovan's record for like youngest player to reach a certain amount of goals, which is very impressive. If Jesus Ferreira is able to like be Landon Donovan-esque, I don't think I'm going to be complaining at all, but I don't know if I've seen all that much from him that has proved that. So we'll see.
I don't believe it.
There's nothing that boy can do to ever impress me in this life. Like, he could score a hat trick every week at the end of the season, and I'll think he sucks forever. Like, what I saw in the World Cup was so disgusting. It was so disgusting to me. I will not forgive that guy for. Unless he plays for Dallas, okay?
Yeah.
He plays for Dallas. And they wear those ugly ass jerseys. You know how I feel about that shit.
Okay, I know how you feel about those. No, I don't blame you for being full hater about Jesus. So we'll move on to the Galaxy 1, Vancouver 1, last game of the day. This was just kind of a normal 1-1 draw. The one thing is that Galaxy scored to go up 2-1, but it was called off by a handball. It hit his shoulder. Like it was a very iffy handball call to take a goal away that would ultimately get a result for the Galaxy, who've had a kind of a rough start to the season. We haven't like talked about them as much as, I mean, like, Chicharito's been hurt, so like I think that's definitely played a role, but they have not started very well for a team that's supposed to be good out of the West.
Yeah, I saw some chatter about their supporters groups attending the game and not singing because they're tired of ownership. I didn't know that we were so passionate about soccer in this country to the point where we want to start getting rid of owners. That's pretty great. I love that.
Yeah, that's a level.
If we're at that level, then we need to expand more. I think I'm okay with expansion now. You know. The atmosphere.
Even when they still, they feel passionately enough to care about owners.
Yeah.
Merritt Paulson, number one.
Yeah, that fucking guy. Yeah. but yeah, you could actually tell that the atmosphere was a little dull in that game, and just wasn't a, it was like you said, it's a typical 1-1, you know. I'm glad they got to play the game and then cancel it because it rained in LA again or some shit like that, you know, like fucking weirdos.
That'd be so weak if they did that, if they did that again. So yeah, that was our games for this week. I should be more prepared. I should have the MLS games pulled up and also NWSL games pulled up for next week as we take a quick look.
They have Google and we've been on for like an hour. So
that's true. We were complaining about the amount of games and amount of teams we're covering. We just added 12 of them this week with the NWSL. So that's been our show. Thank you so much, Emily, for joining us to give us an expert perspective for the NWSL. Looking forward to watching those matches next weekend. Thank you all for listening. Peace.
Take a shot. Take a shot. Plenty.
Parents, when you visit California, childhood rules. If you don't remember how awesome childhood is, just ask yourself.
What would kids do?
Dance to a giant organ played by ocean waves? Yep. Camp in floating tree houses hundreds of feet off the ground? Check. Jump in a big tub of mud on purpose? Call it rejuvenation. We don't care. Just pack your fun pants and let childhood rule your family vacation. Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Stop punishing yourself with bland, chalky protein shakes and fuel your fitness with the best protein in the game at GNC. We've got the hottest brands and flavors that legit taste like cookies, your favorite cereal, indulgent desserts, and more. It's on at GNC.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.